Well, we'd like to welcome everybody back to Junior Elpis Israel class. We've had the summer off, so to speak, but I'm sure many of you have been at different Bible schools and all over the place and have been enjoying different classes, perhaps some of them related to the subjects that we've been looking at and adding to these things. What we're going to do today is we have three classes we're going to look at. And we're going through a little bit of review for class. It's going to be the promises to Abraham, who was promised to be the heir of the world. And then we're going to get into the promises to David, which is a little bit of new material for us for Junior Elpis Israel. And then we're going to get in from there to the subject, basically, of how we can become a part of these promises, which comes to us in Galatians chapter 3. So we're going to begin and look at the subject of the promises to Abraham. Now, it's a subject to us that is of vital importance. It's something that's not just something that you can just kind of brush off, but that we want to really kind of get into our minds and into our hearts, into our heads, because it's a subject that the world around us, the churches, the Christian churches everywhere else, really don't have a clue about. They don't understand the subject of the hope of Israel, which of course is the title, Elpis Israel, the book that Uncle John Thomas wrote. They don't understand that. In fact, in his book, Christendom Astray, this is Robert Roberts who wrote this. Robert Roberts kind of followed Uncle John Thomas along. Robert Roberts, of course, was the young boy who heard lecture by Brother John Thomas and read the book Elpis Israel at an early age, and he was the one who gave us our Bible planner. He wrote those things out because he wanted to learn about the Bible, so at some like 12 or 13 years old, he wrote out this Bible planner that we all use now, pretty much every single one of us at home, in our understanding, or to help our understanding of the Bible. And he writes in his book Christendom Astray, he says, "On no subject will Christendom be found to have gone more astray than the subject of the kingdom of God, a subject which, without exaggeration, may be said to constitute the very backbone of the divine purpose with the earth and its inhabitants." So he said, look, this subject, the kingdom of God, which is what we're really looking at now, is a subject that is so far off by most of the churches. He says it's probably the subject they're the worst at, they're the most far away from. Because where do the churches believe the kingdom of God's going to be? Stevie? That's right. They believe it's going to be in heaven. So what we're looking at is the absolute opposite to that idea, and that is the kingdom of God on earth. There's a subject. There's a little phrase that says, if you don't know where you're going, you're probably going to end up somewhere else. And that's exactly what's going to happen, because everybody thinks they're going up to heaven, but they don't really know where they're going to go. And they're going to end up somewhere else, and that is eventually in a hole in the ground, because if we don't believe the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, then we can't have everlasting life. So let's do a very quick review. Let's go to Habakkuk chapter 2 and at verse 14. And this, of course, is the passage that we have been using as our theme. A lot of the classes that we looked at, this is where we began our Elpis Israel classes at the beginning. Habakkuk chapter 2 and at verse 14, and we read there, and we're going to start on this table, and we're going to kind of go around and then back to this table and around. And if you're listening from far away, I'm not even going to try and work you in on the first class, because we only just figured out how to get you to be able to listen, I hope. And we'll be able to join you in perhaps on the second class. So we're going to begin with Habakkuk, if I can find Habakkuk. Chapter 2, and we'll go with verse 14. So, Stevie, if you want to start for us, we'll work around this table, and then we'll go to this other one over here. Habakkuk 2, verse 14. Okay, so here we have the purpose of God expressed, that the earth would be full of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, quick review. What is the word knowledge? What does it mean? To know. How to know? We've used a couple of examples in the past. What does it mean to know? Shaphan? By experience. So to know by experience, so the earth is going to be filled with people who know by experience the glory of God. So question number two, what is the glory of God? Levi. His character. Very good. So the earth is going to be filled with the character of God. Now, that is the purpose. So everything else is tied into that, including our role and the role of the nation of Israel. I'd like you to go to Acts chapter 15 and verse 14, and Jonah is going to read that one for us. So Acts chapter 15 and verse 14. Okay, so Simeon has declared God visited the Gentiles. Why? Gentiles, there we go. To take out a people for his name. Now, quick review again. When we were looking at the character of God, remember, Moses asked God, he said, tell me, show me your glory, he said. This is Exodus 33. Then he asked him again, show me your ways that I may know you. And then he asked, when the angel came to see Moses, he declared to him his name, of course, right? And what is his name? What was it he said in Exodus 34? What were the things he talked about when he talked about the name of God? The Lord God, or Yahweh. Yahweh El, or Elohim, what was it that followed that? A whole list of different things. Do you remember what they were? Levi's already given you the answer. What is the glory of God? It's his characteristics. So his name, just a sort of quick review, get our rusty minds going. Glory equals his name equals his character. So when Simeon visited the Gentiles at first, so when this is, Simeon talks about how that God visited the Gentiles, he tells them that the reason he did this was to take out of the Gentiles a people for his name. And that people was the nation of Israel. And that people becomes us as well. Now, this is the whole purpose of God. So let's go to the next passage we have, which is Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, so into the New Testament, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Galatians chapter 3, and we want to read verses 6 down to verse 9. So just take one verse apiece, Galatians 3, and we're going to read verses 6 to 9, and we're going to start with David. Galatians 3, verses 6 down to verse 9.
Know ye therefore that they which are of faith the same as the children of Abraham. For the scriptures are saying that God will justify the faith which is for the gospel of Abraham and the same in each of all nations.
Yep, one more. All right, so here we go. The gospel was preached to Abraham. Okay, and this is what we're going to follow through today, this gospel that was preached to Abraham. First, how it applied to Israel, and then how it applies to us. Because he talks about both there, the children of Abraham, and he talks about those which are of faith, which of course includes the Gentiles. So the gospel was preached to Abraham. Our next passage is Matthew chapter 4, and you guys are going to get a workout today because we're going to look at a few passages as we follow this through. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. When we talk about the gospel being preached, okay, so we're focusing on the word gospel. It's preached to Abraham right at the very beginning, but we're told what this gospel is all about in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. Who was next? Ben?
Jesus
Go for it. Matthew 4, verse 23. All right, so what he went around preaching was the gospel of the kingdom. So when you put all this together, God's purpose was to fill the earth with his glory. To realize that purpose, he separated a people for his name, which is his glory or his character. And the gospel was preached to Abraham, the same gospel that's called by the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of the kingdom. So when we're talking about the gospel, what does it mean again? Jonah? The good news, right? The good news of the kingdom of God. It was preached to Abraham, and it is about filling the earth with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So let's go then to the passage we had read, Genesis chapter 12, where God preaches the gospel to Abraham, or tells him about the good news of the kingdom of God that is coming. And this is a bit of review from our last year. So we're just going to sort of try and stir up our minds by way of remembrance. Get the cobwebs out. Dust off a couple of these passages. Genesis chapter 12. And we're going to read verses 2 and 3. So Josiah, if you would like to read for us. Genesis chapter 12. Or Caleb, sorry. Caleb verse 2. Josiah verse 3. Okay, very good. So, if we think back to our last class, our last few classes, we've been looking at the promises to Abraham. We've been looking at the area where God breaks these things down. And notice there, he says in verse 1, we didn't actually read verse 1, but Uncle Dave did. He says to get out from your country, from your kindred, from your father's house. So, he took out Abraham from the Gentiles, right at the very beginning. Just like he did with Israel, taking them out of Egypt. He took him out of the Gentiles, eventually, to create a people for his name. So now when we come to these promises, let's list them off. What are the basic promises to Abraham? What are the things we're going to look for? And if you remember, we had a little anachronism. You know what an anachronism is? It's a little phrase out of which you can assign something for. And it was bless. What was it again? Blessing, B-L-E-S-S-N-G-C. So blessing, C. That was all the little letters. So what was the first one? B. We just read it. What does the B stand for? It's really easy. This is the simplest one of the lot. Daniel? Bless. Very good. Okay? He is going to be a blessing. Okay? L. What's the L all about? What did he promise him? Land. Very good. What about the E? What's the E all about? Ever. Right? So this is the length of this promise, ever, or everlasting, as it's called somewhere else. Okay, we have two S's. What's the first S for? Seed. Okay? What's the second S for? Levi? Seeds. Very good. You guys were paying attention last year. Okay, so now we have plural, we have individual, and then we have a plural seed as well. How about N? What does N stand for? No, but close. Name, right? He was going to make his name great, okay? So, now what does the G stand for? Levi? Yes, the great nation, right? So we've got this great great nation. Okay? How about the seed? The last one. We just read it. Curse. Curses, right? Cursing, I will curse thee. And remember, we have Aunt Sally to thank for this little thing here, and it certainly helps us to remember the blessings to Abraham. The blessing, the land, for everlasting. There's a seed, there's seeds, there's a name. It's a great nation, and those who curse Abraham and his seed will be cursed. So tied into that are all the promises that are given to Abraham. Now, it wasn't just given to Abraham, though. It was also given to Abraham's family. Now, we're not going to spend time going through all of those. We're going to go to one verse that ties it all up for us. Who's next to read? Nathaniel. Hebrews chapter 11. Okay? Hebrews chapter 11, and we want to read verse 9. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9. Okay, so in this verse, we find that with Abraham, there is Isaac, and there's Jacob, and they are heirs of the same promise. So when we go through the promises to Abraham, we find that the same promises are given to Isaac and given to Jacob as well. So here we have then this whole idea of the promises to Abraham that's laid out. It's given to us. There's a whole bunch of things included. And this is the good news that was preached at the very beginning to Abraham. This is the gospel of the kingdom. The same thing the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching was taught originally to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. It's not a different gospel. It's not a different story. It's the same gospel from the Old Testament to the New Testament. So, let's look at a couple of these elements we're going to focus on. I had somewhere around here a little fluff of paper, but it's disappeared. Could I have a piece of kitchen towel, please? I was prepared for class, honest. Oh, did you? Ah, there we go. Very good. Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to leave the bottom if you haven't quite finished writing that down. And we're going to add a couple of things on the top. Okay? So we're going to start off looking at this idea of the blessing. Now, when you think about the blessing, those people, it says, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And there's really three blessings that are tied into this. First of all, Abraham was blessed. And then those who blessed Abraham would be blessed. And all nations would be blessed in Abraham's seed. And we're going to look at that last one in our last class. But this idea of people who bless Abraham being blessed, it's pretty clear when you look at what happens that the blessings that are laid out are pretty incredible. First of all, when we go through this list here, to Abraham himself, Abraham would be blessed. He would be given all this stuff. He would experience all these things forever. So what does that tell you if Abraham is going to experience this forever? What is that telling us? We're talking about earlier. We're not going off to heaven. But what's going to happen to Abraham? Jonah? He's going to have to be resurrected, right? I mean, there's no point in having all these promises given to you. If you're dead and buried in the ground, you can't exactly collect on them. We often say, you know, while can't take it all with you, which is true. If you're going to enjoy these things forever, you're going to have to be resurrected. You're not going to enjoy them in the grave because we know that in the grave there is no reward. So we'll come back and look at the resurrection a little bit later on. But blessing those who blessed Abraham would be blessed. We're not going to turn these up, but just I'm going to mention two passages. There's two times that Abraham went down. One was into Egypt, and the other one to the land of the Philistines. Genesis 12, verse 17, if you're taking notes, was when he went to Egypt. And Genesis 20, verses 17 to 18. Now, on both occasions, these are Gentiles, and their treatment of Abraham would dictate what happened. When Abraham went and stayed with Pharaoh, or down in Egypt for a while, Sarah, of course, was taken into Pharaoh's house. And God plagued, it says, Pharaoh and his house because Sarah was taken away from Abraham. And the same thing happened in Genesis 20 when Abraham went and stayed with Abimelech. God plagued Abimelech and his house so much so that nobody had any kids. All the women stopped bearing children, whether they were the wives of Abimelech, whether they were his maidservants. So how people treated Abraham dictated how they would be looked after. And when they did the right thing, God blessed them. And when they did the wrong thing, God cursed them. So nations and peoples who bless Abraham will be blessed. Now that extends right the way through to Abraham's seed as well. And we see that in very recent years. When nations turn against God's people, we find that they are cursed because of that. One of them would be the nation of Britain. We may be aware of the fact that Britain was very involved at first in bringing the Jews back to the land. It was General Allenby, of course, who conquered Jerusalem and the Balfour Declaration. The Jews were supposed to come back to the land. But then when Britain turned its back on the Jewish people and stopped them from coming to the land, Britain was eventually thrown out of the land, and they lost their empire. They used to have an empire that used to be said that the sun never set on the British Empire. But when they turned their back on the Jewish people, they no longer had an empire. And the nation that became the friend of Israel was America. And all of a sudden, the sun never set on the American, I wouldn't call it empire, but their whole area of influence. They were everywhere throughout the whole world. So those who bless Israel, and or Abraham and his seed, are blessed, and those who curse him will be cursed. But there's another one. We just want to pick up on this one. And that is that all nations will be blessed in Abraham's seed. We're going to spend a little bit more time on it in our last class, but let's just put it into context. Let's go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. And we want to read verse 8 and 9. So where do we get to? Josh, if you want to read verse 8. And Becca, you want to read verse 9, and then we'll start on this table here. So we have Galatians chapter 3. Verses 8 and 9. Okay, so this is the one we were looking at earlier. The gospel was preached to Abraham. And what does he say? Pick up the phrase there that's right from Genesis 12. Saying what? What's the phrase in Galatians 3 that's going right back to Genesis 12? Right back from that first section. Jonah? Right. So in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Great Bible marking passage this is, to tie this one, and it might even be in your margin, I'm not sure or not, but tie this one all the way back to Genesis chapter 12. So it's in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. So the blessing to Abraham and to his seed would eventually extend to all nations of the earth. Not right away, as we're going to see, but eventually it would go out to all nations of the earth. So the blessing is to Abraham individually. He will get to live forever, amongst other things. It's a blessing to those who bless Abraham. And in Abraham, all nations of the earth are going to be blessed. So everybody is going to participate in the gospel or the good news of the kingdom of God through Abraham and through his seed, which we're going to look at in a moment as well. And so, outside of that, there is no hope. The gospel was preached to Abraham. It's in him nations are blessed. If we're not in Abraham, whatever that means, and we'll look at that in our third class, then there is no hope for us. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ said something rather peculiar in John chapter 4 in verse 22. So we come to John chapter 4, verse 22, and Chloe, if you could read that for us, it makes a rather funny little statement that a lot of the nations, a lot of the churches just cannot understand. John chapter 4 and verse 22. This is the conversation between the Lord Jesus Christ and the woman by the well of Sychar, or Shechem. And she is a Samaritan. And of course, they worshipped in the Mount of Samaria. And the Jews worship in Jerusalem. And there's this conversation that goes on. And Jesus makes a statement in John chapter 4, verse 22, Chloe. Okay, salvation, he says, is of the Jews. So if we want to be saved, somehow we have to be in Abraham. So for all the rest of the nations, the Lord Jesus Christ says, look, the only way you can have salvation is to somehow become related to this people, the Jews. And that happens in thee, in Abraham, and in his seed. So we're going to look at that, pick that up in our third class. But that is the whole idea of the blessing, is that it's tied up into Abraham and into his seed. And there is no salvation outside of that. So it doesn't matter where we're from, what nationality we are, if we want salvation, somehow we have to become related to Abraham and to his seed, the Jews. So we're going to spend some time on that in the last class. Now, the next thing we want to look at for a few minutes is the land, okay? The physical land, because of course, there are those who think we're going off to heaven. And as we talked about, that's not the way it is. And the reason that is, of course, is because the promises, the good news, is about the kingdom of God on earth. It makes perfect sense. We can just think of Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Anybody know what that says? Without looking it up? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Right. We have the kingdom that's going to come, and his will is done on earth. So all these people who are looking for some kind of kingdom floating around in the sky, sitting on clouds, eating grapes and strumming harps or playing golf or whatever they think they're going to do up there, it's absolutely not what the Bible teaches. Everybody says the prayer, but nobody listens to the words. Your kingdom is to come, and your will, which we looked at in Habakkuk chapter 3 or chapter 2, verse 14, is going to be done on earth as it is in heaven, but it's going to be done on earth. So let's go back to Genesis, into the promises. We're going to go to chapter 15 this time, because it's very clearly laid out for us. Hopefully by now, through the summer, you should have colored in your Bibles, all those promises in blue. So we've got them, the promises to Abraham. We're going to add some to it today. But Genesis chapter 15 and verse 7. Whoever's next, if you want to read that for us. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 7. Okay, so here is God. He says, I'm the one who brought you out, separated a people for his name. And what does he say he's going to do? He says, I'm going to give you this land. No other land but the land that he was walking in. And the dimensions of that land are given to us down in verses 18 to 21. So if you want to go down to verse 18 and read to verse 21, just read around. Let's just keep going with what he says. All right, good stuff. So he says, to you and your seed have I given this land from the river Euphrates to the river of Egypt. If I could write Egypt, we'd be doing just fine. There we go. But notice, so we've got boundaries given. From the Euphrates, which is all the way over by Babylon, where Daniel ended up, right the way through to the river Nile, the great river of Egypt. That area that the children of Israel would have been around when they were captive, that whole swath of land is given to Abraham, he says in chapter 15, verse 7, and to thy seed in verses 18 to verse 21. So that's the area that he was given. And when he was there, it wasn't his. So as Abraham trundled around that land and he was told to walk through it, through the length of it and the breadth thereof, he didn't actually get it at that point in time. Let's go to the New Testament now. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to come there a few times over the day today. And we want to read about Abraham and his inheritance. Hebrews chapter 11. And I'll just read this little section for you. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out. Okay, so there we have the call of Abraham. God separated him from the nations. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. Into a place that he should go after receive for an inheritance. So here we have. He's called out. To a place that he's going to after. And that's a word you want to underline in your margin. He's going to afterwards receive this land. Not right away, but at a future time. He wouldn't even get it. He went there and he had to walk through this land. But it was afterwards that he would receive this land for an inheritance in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 11, verses 8 to 16. So Abraham obeyed by faith. He went out, didn't know where he was going. But he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. And he dwelt in tabernacles or tents with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of the same promise. And he looks for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So he was looking forward to a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And if you remember last year, we looked at the city of Babylon, whose builder and maker, of course, was Nimrod. He was the founder of this whole thing. Well, here Abraham's, look, he's left Babylon, he's left Ur of the Chaldees, he's left the city of men behind, and he's coming now and he's looking for the city of God, the builder and maker of the city being God. And it goes on to tell us there that verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. So they didn't actually get anything at that point in time. But they saw them afar off, and they were convinced, they were persuaded by these things, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, for they say such things, declare plainly that they seek a country. So they were looking forward to something in the future that they would afterwards receive for an inheritance, and at the time they didn't get a thing. They got nothing, walking around this land their whole lives and didn't receive it. But it was promised to them and to their seed forever. And they believed what God had to say. So, one more thing on the land. Acts chapter 7. If we want to look up Acts chapter 7. And we want to read verses 3 and 4. So whoever's next. Acts chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. This is Stephen, who is giving his testimony, his witness, to the Jews who were about to stone him. And in Acts chapter 7, verses 3 and 4, he was telling them about Jesus, who was the promised seed, and they didn't want to believe him, and they were angry with him, so they were going to stone him. And he tells them about Abraham and what Abraham actually received. So Acts 7, verses 3 and 4, whoever's next. Okay, so he was told to get out to the land that God would show him. Something in the future, from where he was in Ur of the Chaldees, and he went and removed into the land that they were standing in at that point in time when they were having this conversation. So it's the land that they were currently in. That's what God promised him. Not heaven, but the land that they were in. Now you would think, if this is the New Testament, we're all going to heaven now, Stephen, who has been baptized, he's a Christian, he's a believer, you'd think if this is all changed and we're all supposed to go off to heaven, that he'd be telling a different story. But no, he says, it's this land that we're standing in that basically that they were standing in right now when they were having this conversation. So here we have the promise that was given to Abraham, and it's delineated for us, or it's told to us, that it was this land where they were standing in right now. And of course, Abraham and his family were buried there, and they didn't receive so much as to set their foot in. It's a land that they never received. And we want to now think about this. This is the promise that Abraham was given, and it was an everlasting promise. And there's a phrase for us. We're not going to look this passage up, but just write this one down. It's 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 to 7. And this is, when we think of it in terms of the promises to Abraham, verses 6 to 7, he says, it's certain we brought nothing into this world, and we're not going to take anything out. So here's Abraham. He's brought into the land, and he's given all this stuff, but he dies. And Timothy says, it's certain that we brought nothing into this world, and we're not going to take anything out. The only way that Abraham could receive this promise forever was to be raised from the dead. It was an everlasting covenant. Let's go to Genesis chapter 17 and verses 7 and 8. Genesis chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. Whoever's next, if you want to read that for us. Genesis 17, verses 7 and 8. Okay, so here it is. It's an everlasting covenant, and it's an everlasting possession. Right? So this is something that's going to go on and on forever. The only way that he can have this is to be resurrected from the dead. And the word there for everlasting is the Strong's number 56. Let me just check. I think it's 79. 5679. And it means the Olam, okay, which means it's the idea of forever. It's not just for right now, forevermore, indefinitely, continuous, perpetual. It's something that just goes on and on and on, and it's never going to stop. So it's the idea of perpetual. So it's not just going to be, it's not just going to be for a short period of time. The nation of Israel was in the land for a little period of time, but it's going to go on forever and ever and ever. And we read that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He's not going to change his mind. That's Romans chapter 11, actually, verse 29. Romans 11, verse 29. tells you that God's not going to repent. His gifts and His calling are without repentance. He's not going to change His mind about these things. So, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are going to have to be raised from the dead. So let's go to Luke chapter 20, because here the Lord Jesus Christ is arguing with the Sadducees, who didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. Luke chapter 20, whoops. Verses 37 and 38. And here we find that this requires the resurrection. So whoever's next, if you can read for us Luke chapter 20, verses 37 and 38. Okay, so the resurrection is a fact because He's called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's not a God of the dead, but of the living. Okay, so Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are going to have to live again. And the Lord Jesus Christ uses that to prove this. Now, I think we're going to stop there. We have a little bit left that we'll begin at the beginning of the next class. But we'll stop there because we did start a little bit late, but I don't want to get our schedule off too much. And we'll come back after this class, and we're going to look at the multitudinous and the singular seed and what's going to happen from here on in.